When we were growing up, there would be times when either myself or I would be doing something with my brothers that we were not supposed to be doing. And we would get in trouble, and my dad would say, "Come over here and stand still. Come over here and stand still." And then he would proceed to tell us what we were doing that was wrong and the punishment for that. Why did he do that? Why does a parent do that? Well, we were goofing around. We were doing things that were wrong. We were talking and moving and doing this and doing that. "You come over here and stand still and look at me." And then we get in trouble. What does that standing still accomplish? What it accomplishes is that it gets our attention. We be quiet. We stop looking around. Stop goofing off. We stand still, and he's got our attention. I want us to think this morning about the matter of being still in our very, very chaotic world. We need to take some moments to be still and think about God and our relationship with Him. And the reason that I've been thinking about this is the idea of our modern world that is so full of movement. And with our technology and with our innovations and our inventions, we're moving, we're talking, we're going here, we're going there, and often God is left out. We can do things quicker and faster. We can cram more things in during the day. And rather than slowing down and stepping back and being still for a moment, we're just constantly going until we're so dog-tired and worn out that we crash our head on the pillow and we go to sleep and we get up the next morning and we're just going at it again. Just going, going, going. And often what happens in one's life is that God is left out of the picture. And I think modern technology and modern innovations and inventions are good. And I'm glad that we have them. And I don't want to go back and live 100 years ago with that type of thing. But with those things comes challenges. And with those things comes responsibilities. And with those things comes some warning. That we can get so busy doing things and doing it quicker and more and faster that we're just going, 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 and we don't step back and think about God. It's interesting how that we always have to have movement. You ever notice that? Especially in our TV world. I love going back and watching old programs. You go watch some old program out of the 70s. And there'll be a camera shot on a person, and the camera's not moving, and it's on there for, it seems like, 5 minutes. We wouldn't have that today. You got to shoot from here and shoot from there, and the person's got, and the camera's got to be moving, and all that kind of thing. And you'll watch some news program, and they've even got it to where the people are sitting still, but there's this banner that moves up here. It's not even doing anything. It's just moving across. Some computer banner moves, and then this will flash, and that'll flash. And there's always got to be moving. See, got to be moving. Well, the problem with that is we're losing our attention span. We can't just sit and focus. And so we have ADD, you know, or whatever the case might be. You know. Got to be moving. Can't sit still. So the little kid can't sit still. You know, they're always fidgeting and moving and running. And, you know, just sit still, you see. No, we can't do that anymore. We've got to constantly be moving. So that type of thing is breeding this approach to where I just got to be moving, you see. I want us to turn to Psalm 46, and I want us to read. We're going to read all of Psalm 46 this morning. So if you'll turn with me there, I want us to be reminded of the importance of what the psalmist says, to be still and know that I am God. I think if there were ever a time in our world, it would be now, where we need to be still. We just need to be still a moment. And I'm going to suggest some things later on in the lesson, and I'm very serious about them. I'm not trying to be funny or kidding, but I'm very serious about taking some time each day. And yes, guys, it applies to us as well. Do you ever just sit and close your eyes and just be still for a minute? You ever do that? We need to do more of that because we're just constantly going. The TV's on, you see, and the computer's on, and we're running here and we're running there, you see. And again, we're just so dog tired. Well, now it's time to go to sleep. We need to be still and know that God is God. And we're going to see some things in this psalm that parallel our world today. Just the constant movement. Moving here, moving there, you know. And the psalmist says, you know, just be still. Be still and know God. I asked Matthew if he would read Exodus chapter 14. So here are the Israelites. You know, they're crossing the Red Sea. And then here come the Egyptians, hard fast on their heels. And all of a sudden, well, Moses, you know, weren't there any graves back in Egypt that you had to drag us out here to die? And didn't we tell you that we wanted to be left alone? And they're coming, oh, we're scared. What are we going to do? And what does Moses say? You know what? Why don't y'all just be still a minute? Just be still. Okay. Calm down here and see the power of God. Oh, yeah, and here they come. And we're going to... Just be still and don't fear and see what God is about to do. We need to do that. We need to do that in our fast-paced world. Because what happens when we don't do that is, it's just like the Israelites. We begin to lose our trust and confidence. We begin to fear. We worry. And what about this? And what about that? You see, God's in control. Psalm 46 and verse 1, read together with me. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth do change, and though the mountains be shaken into the heart of the seas, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains tremble with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her and the right early, or literally at the dawn of the morning. God doesn't drag his feet. God gets up at the dawn of the morning and he's there to help you. So God will help her and that right early. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. Jehovah of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of Jehovah. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Jehovah of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, come back with me to verse 1, a very present help in trouble. This psalm is about the troubles and trials that go on in a person's life and that God is a refuge during those things. Verses 1 through 3, God is a refuge in times of trouble. Note, verses 4 through 7, God is with us in times of trouble. But look at verses 8 through 11. He's there to be a refuge. He's there to be a protection. But we need to be concentrating and thinking about and meditating upon Him in order to get the benefit of this refuge and this help. So in verses 8 through 11, the psalmist encourages the reader to say, look, do two things. Number one, behold the works of God. What does it take to do that? You have to stand still sometime during the day to do that. And so do I. We have to just be still a minute to behold the works of God. And then verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Now look at this psalm. Go back with me. What are we going to do in times of turmoil and trouble? Some fall away. It just gets too much for them. midlife or pressures or family or marriage or work or whatever, and it's just too much coming down on me, and I'm just going to give up. Others complain, like the Israelites, about ready to cross the Red Sea there, and then the Egyptians are pressing down harder. Well, you know, can you imagine the sarcasm in that first question? Were there not graves in Egypt that we could have been buried? Can you imagine that tone that was taken with God? Wow, there wasn't just a question, a little sarcastic tone there. So we start complaining. Or we start saying things against God that we shouldn't be saying, you see. So we need to be careful about that. But many people will allow troubles and turmoils and trials to affect them negatively and not have a right relationship with God. And notice in this psalm, the noise, if you will. Did you notice that as we first read? Come back with me to verse 2. Though the mountains be shaken into the heart of the seas, though the waters thereof roar. What is that noise? This is the psalmist's way of describing society. He's not saying that mountains are literally, you know, earthquakes. He's not writing about physical phenomenon per se. He's using this language as a description of society and the problems of life and different things that are going on. But notice the noise. The waters are trembling. The mountains are trembling, you see. Come down with me to verse 6. The nations raged. They were moved. That's what all of the political things are going on in David's life. And the power struggles and the wars that are going on. And the battles that are going on. What is that? It's a bunch of stuff going on. And do we not have that today? Well, it's Syria, and then it's something, some sort of homeland terrorist act, and it's this and it's that. You know what we need to do when all that's going on? We need to be still and know that I am God. Verse 9, of course, wars are actually mentioned there. So all this worldliness, the wickedness, the war, all the things that are chaotic in society, what is recommended? Number one, behold, and number two, be still. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 17 to get another picture of this noise, if you will, the noise of society. And we have plenty of that going on. The wickedness, the worldliness, the war. Isaiah chapter 17 and verse 12. Ah, the uproar of many peoples. One version says, the noise of many peoples. The roar like the roaring of the seas and the rushing of the nations that rush like the rushing of mighty waters. The nations shall rush like the rushing mighty many waters, but he shall rebuke them and they shall flee far off. And shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind, and like the whirlwind dust before the storm. The nations are described as the noise of the roaring of the seas. What is that? It's all the stuff they want to do, all their ideas, their plans, their politics, their wars, but God's going to hold them accountable. There's a lot of noise going on. It was going on in Isaiah's day. It's going on today. And you know what people need to do? They just need to step back and be still and know that God is God. But they won't do that. They just keep going on in the noise. Have you ever noticed throughout the day, how many times throughout the day is it completely quiet? There's always some noise somewhere. There's some noise somewhere. TV, radio, computer, another person, a siren, a train, whatever. There's noise. It's hard to get away from it. And we get so used to it that we don't think about this psalm. Turn with me to Habakkuk chapter 2, again, where the idea of noise is tied in with the things that are going on in the world. Habakkuk chapter 2, in verse 18, talking about the idolatry of Babylon. What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image, even the teacher of lies, that he that fashioneth it form, trusteth therein to make dumb idols. Woe unto him that saith to wood, awake, and to the dumb stone, or that which cannot speak, the silent stone, arise, shall this teach? Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in it. But Jehovah is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before Him. What that's saying is that God is the ruler of the universe. He's in His holy temple, and we need to be quiet and contemplate that. If you back up to verse 15, woe to him that giveth drink alcohol. Look at verse 17, violence. Verse 18, idolatry. Isn't that in our modern society? Alcohol, violence, idolatry. We need to be quiet and remember that God is in heaven in His holy temple. But the world won't do that. And so it just carries on with its noise and in its wicked ways. And so this morning, I want us to think about the importance of following the psalmist's advice to be still and know that I am God. What does this word mean? Well, in Psalm 46 and verse 10, the Hebrew word rapha means literally to cease, to let go, to relax, to leave off, to be still. And it's not just talking about the idea of sitting still or standing still, but mentally, in our mind, we stop resisting. We're going to stop bucking and resisting and fighting and putting up a fight. We're just going to let go. Let go. And know that God is in control. We're not. God is. Relax. Be still. No. We got to be saying something. Got to be doing something, you see. And then that's where the problem comes in. Some other versions, the New American Standard, cease striving. Where our versions say, be still, cease. Cease and desist. Let go. Someone said years ago, let go and let God. There's a lot of truth to that. Let go. Desist. Several versions. It's the idea that we need to make a regular habit of reflecting upon God and being still and just sit for a minute and think about God. Stop talking. Stop thinking about what we want. Here the Israelites, no graves, and didn't we tell you? And just going on and on. You people need to be still a minute. And God's going to show that He's God. Another example, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 16. When Israel had asked for a king, and Samuel tells them, okay, you have a king now, but you better obey. Both you and the king better obey. If you don't, you're going to be punished by God. And then he says, be still and see the power of God. And he calls down, remember the thunder and the rain, and he calls that down. He says, because of your wickedness in asking for this, but be still and witness the power of God. Turn over to Job 37 and verse 14. It's interesting when Job's friends begin to talk, they really say things that they don't know what they're talking about. They assume that Job's a sinner and that's why he is suffering like he is. But Elihu is really the one. Turn to Job 37. Elihu is the one, when he finally speaks up, he gets closer to the point. He doesn't charge Job with sinning. What he does is, he says, Job, you just need to be quiet and think about the greatness of God. And what's interesting is the very thing he says is the very thing that God brings up in the next chapter. That's why I say Elihu gets closer to what God wanted than the other friends. Job 37, 14. Hearken, Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. You've been complaining about all this stuff, and then later in the book you've been charging God with some things. You just need to stand still a minute and behold the wondrous works of God. Do you know how God layeth upon them and causeth the lightning of His clouds? That's exactly what God brings up in chapter 38, 39. How He controls the weather and the animals and things like that. But what does Elihu say? Job, be quiet. stand still, and consider the wondrous works of God. I want us to think this morning, brethren, about this important idea, I believe, at a time when we need it the most in our fast-paced, cram-full day of movement. And that is, we need to be still. Just relax a minute. And think about God and our relationship with Him. And as I said earlier, I'm very serious about this next point. I want to encourage you, start today, and I want to encourage you, try it for a week. Pick out a time during the day this week, each day, to find some time, literally, and I'm very serious about this, where we can just sit still and close our eyes, no noise, and think about some things that we're going to talk about this morning. Think about God and your relationship with Him. Do you need to make some changes? And I'm not talking about some Eastern mystic, meditation. You cross your hands. No, I'm not talking about some silliness, but just being still for a minute. Being still for a minute and thinking about God. We're going to see that this is found in God's Word. It's not a silly thing. It's not just some New Age silly thing. It's found in God's Word. They had their fast-paced things. The psalmist, as we'll see in some other passages, knew about this very thing. We need to get back to that. Find a place where you can go and sit or lie down, as we'll see the psalmist here in a minute, lying on his bed at the night watches, meditating on God. Find a place to sit down or lay down. Close your eyes and get rid of the noise and think about God. Let's look at a few things and why this is important. First of all, this psalm speaks to those who are just so interrupted in life. Everything's out there. I'm interrupted by this and interrupted by that. This psalm speaks to Martha. And Eric brought this up the other night on a Wednesday night talk. Luke 10:38-42. She was cumbered about by much serving, and she's going here and there. And Lord, bid that my sister would help me. And Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet. She's just sitting there. And she's enjoying a lesson from God's Word. Just sitting there and being still, sitting at Jesus. Well, no, I got to clean that. I got to go over here. I got to go over there and clean that. Wait a minute. You're anxious for nothing, and you're cumbered about by many things. She hath chosen the good part. So, I got this and I got that. And so throughout the day, it speaks to those of us who are heavily engrossed in this and that. And God wants us to take care of our families with our work. And we have family responsibilities that involve physically working and other kinds of things. But we need to make sure that we're not so interrupted and engrossed all throughout the day that we can't take some time to be still and know that I am God. If we need to cut back on something, we need to cut back on it. If we need to take something out of the list or off the list, then we just need to do it so that we can make sure that we're taking time to think about God. It also speaks to people who are agitated by life's troubles and trials. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. So I'm worried about this health problem, and I'm worried about this at work, and worried about that, and I've got this family problem, and my friends over here, and I'm taking care of parents, and I'm doing this, and there are a lot of things that go on in life that can get us to worry. That we don't preach much about that. Worry and anxiety. And yet Jesus and Paul and others say that those are things that are not to be in our life. And so this psalm speaks to those who are always apprehensive. Well, always apprehensive about this and bothered by what's going to happen over here. What am I going to do about that? You see, Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearance be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. We need to remember that. In nothing. Well, wait a minute now. There's a few things I need to be anxious about. Come on now, Paul. In nothing. That's a hard one. In nothing, be anxious. Some versions say worry. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now look at this. And the peace of God, what is that? That's just a relaxed peace that things are going to be okay, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ. But how does that come about? Well, we've got to get rid of the anxiety and the worry, and we've got to take it to God in prayer. That's going to be one of our quiet times we're going to talk about in just a moment. So it speaks to those who are constantly allow themselves to be interrupted and this and that, and the apprehensions of daily affairs. I'm always bothered and stressed out by that. And then number three, maybe just outright rebellion. Turn with me to Acts chapter 26, where Saul of Tarsus got a wake-up call there. And I chose Acts 26 in verse 14 because of the particular wording that is used there in verse 14. Here is Saul of Tarsus. He is a Pharisee. He is a zealous Jew. And when the gospel is preached on the day of Pentecost, he doesn't want to have anything to do with that. And when Stephen preaches in Acts chapter 7, rather than humbly obeying the gospel, and here's an opportunity to come to the faith like other priests had done, Acts 6, 9. No, I'm going to just hold the coats of those who stoned the man. I don't want to have anything to do with this. And I'm going to go out breathing threatening and slaughter toward all the members of the church. He had an opportunity. But no, I'm just going to rebel and resist and say no. And when Jesus appears to him, he finally says in verse 16, stop kicking against the goad, the poke. You're like an animal kicking against the poke. You need to stop that. And you need to obey. And so, this is interesting. Look at verse 14. And when we were all fallen to the earth, this is where Jesus appears on the road to Damascus. I like this. I heard a voice saying unto me in the Hebrew language. Jesus wanted Paul to get it real clear. This is the language you grew up in. So I'm going to give it to you in the language that you know the best. I'm going to give it to you in the Hebrew language. Okay? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for you to kick against the goad. And I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. But arise and stand upon your feet, for to this end I have appeared unto thee, to appoint thee a minister and a witness, both of the things wherein thou hast seen me, and of the things wherein I will appear. Of course, he is baptized into Christ, and he starts doing what the Lord wants him to do. You know what Paul needed? He needed to just stand still for a moment and quit kicking and quit bucking and resisting and saying no. And I don't want Jesus, and I don't want Stephen, and I don't want this gospel and these Christians. I want them gone. You just need to stop a minute and do what is right. And so whether in our life it is the rebellion, whether it's the daily apprehension about this or that, or whether it's just the constant interruptions with this thing and that thing, whatever it is, or whatever else we might be able to think of, it's good for us just to be still and know that God is God. First of all, we need to be still for some good Bible reading. You know, I'm not talking about getting your lesson. I'm talking about finding a quiet time and a quiet place. And you know what? Just open this up and read it and think about it. Well, you know, Brother Reese, I don't have time for that. Well, we need to make some time. We're moving too much. And there's too much noise going on if we can't do that. Turn with me to Psalm 1 and verse 2. The righteous man, the good man, meditates on the law of the Lord. What is that? What does it take in order to do that? You have to have some quiet time. You have to have some time for yourself. And so his delight is in the law, and on his law doth he meditate day and night. The word there means to stop and think about and ponder. And quiet time is the best time for that. Make some time every day. Yes, yes. And if we have too much going on, then we just have too much going on. And we need to take something off the list. Psalm 119, verse 15. I will meditate on thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Verse 23, princes sat and talked against me, but thy servant, me, the psalmist, did meditate on thy statutes. Verse 27, make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so I shall meditate on thy wondrous works. Again, this sounds silly, but it's not. Spend some time just to meditate on a sunset, on the wondrous works of God. There's way too less of that going on in our world. We need more of that. Look at verse 48. I will lift up my hands unto thy commandments, which I have loved. I will meditate on thy statutes. Look at verse 78. Let the proud be put to shame, for they have overthrown me wrongfully. I will meditate on thy precepts. And then Psalm 148. Mine eyes anticipated the night watches that I might meditate on thy word. Okay, so here's the deal. Well, Brother Reese, my day is just full. Okay, if it has to be at night, then let it be at night. If nighttime is the only time you can get some quiet meditation time to yourself, then that needs to be the time to do it. For some, it may be early in the morning. For others, it may be at night. You might have some time during the day. We all have different schedules. We all have different situations in our life. But look at this verse. I anticipated the night watches. What is the night watch? The night watch is when it's quiet. And you can go out on the wall, or you can go somewhere in Jerusalem. I anticipated the night watches that I might meditate on thy word. We've had situations, Sherry and I, where, you know, it's just go throughout the day. And as a parent, we sit down at night. Whew, we finally got the kids in bed, or got the kids bathed, you know, when they were real little, that type of thing. Whew, we just have some time to breathe a little bit. That may be the day, the time of the day. Whatever it is, we're going to just sit and read a scripture and think about it. Not to get a Bible lesson, not to get a Wednesday night talk, not to rush through to do something that we have to do, but just read it and think about those words. And how does that apply to me, and how can I make those necessary changes? Be still for prayer. Go, go, go. Noise, noise, noise. Matthew chapter 6, I believe Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 is talking about public prayer versus private prayer. I believe that's the context. I believe that's what he's talking about. But it would apply to the point that I'm making. He was trying to show these Pharisees that you don't go out in public and just be showy with your prayers. So go inside your home and shut the door. But stop and think about that. If you do that, wouldn't that be a quiet place? Sure. So I believe it would apply to what we're talking about. So when you pray, enter into your inner chamber, and having shut the door, well, that's going to be pretty private, isn't it? And you know, with privacy also comes quiet time. So he's saying that's where you need to pray. Turn with me to Mark 1:35. You know, some people like to get up real early in the morning. And some people can do that. And some people stay up late at night. Different people have different schedules and what they can do. But you find your quiet time where you can be still. What does the word mean? Just cease for a minute. Let go. Relax. And know that I am God. Look at Mark 1:35. In the morning, a great while before day. That's before the noise comes. Everybody starts talking. And then you hear this siren and you hear that car and you hear that truck. A great while before day, he rose up and went out and departed into a desert place. This is uninhabited. This is quiet, folks. And pray. It'll do a world of good for us in bringing us back to a right relationship with God. And then it helps us to face all that noise that may come up later that we may not be able to get away from. Be still for meditation. Where was Isaac when he first saw his new bride. In Genesis chapter 24, we're not told what he was doing out there. But in Genesis chapter 24, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. Well, you can get out there when it's quiet. I don't know if he was meditating about his marriage coming up. Maybe he was. I don't know. He was meditating about something. But notice that it's out in a field, away from everybody. Notice that it's at eventide, and we can stop and think about what is important. Again, not suggesting some silly little thing, not suggesting some Eastern meditation guru, just simply looking at some things in God's Word that remind us of the importance of quiet time. Look at Psalm 63 and verse 6 with me. Psalm 63 and verse 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditated on thee in the night watches. Maybe our schedule is such that this time that we're talking about is when we finally lay down at night on our bed. Maybe that's the quiet time. And if that's it for you, then great. Here's the psalmist said, that I remembered thee upon my bed and meditated thee upon thee in the night watches. Maybe that's when that time comes. And if it is, then use it to its fullest. And right before we go to sleep, we're going to be still and know that I am God. Psalm 77 and verse 12. Psalm 77 and verse 12. I will meditate also upon all thy work and muse of thy doings. These other passages as well speak to the same thing. Oh, that's silly, just to sit there and close your eyes. Well, whether it's sitting, standing, laying on your bed, whatever it is, we need to better our relationship with God, and it's going to be done when we just get the noise away and focus. When Dad said, come over here and stand still, it's to focus. It's to get attention. It's to see the seriousness of it. We're so full of distractions and this and that. I would suggest that we also take some time to be still for personal introspection. And what I mean by that is, what do I need to do to change? What do I need to do to be saved? What do I need to do to change in my life in some way? There's time to help others. There's time to preach to others and all that kind of thing. But we also need to make sure that we're right with God as well. Turn with me to Psalm 4 and verse 4. This idea of be still is also found in some of these other passages. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Well, brother so-and-so, he needs to change this. And sister so-and-so, they need to change that. Well, they may. But you know what? I may need to change something. And a good time to figure that out is when I am communing with my own heart upon my bed. I'm just laying there and I'm being still. And you know, well, maybe I need to change this or that. Go home and do it. Let me challenge you to do it. Start today. Do it each day this week and see if it doesn't help. Turn with me to Psalm 119 and verse 59. You know, it's when we stand still a minute and think about ourselves, that's when we finally obey the gospel. That's when we finally come back and make the necessary changes. When we I've been thinking about this and thinking about, well, just think about yourself for a minute. I'm going to think about myself. And when I finally do that, the prodigal son was sitting there with the pigs, and it says, when he came to himself, he said, okay, no more living it up with the harlots. No more out there having a, you know, gallivanting around, having a good time. He's just sitting there. And that's when he came to himself. And that's when he came back. Psalm 119, verse 59. I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet into thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to observe thy commandments. When did that all happen? When I just thought on my ways. And quiet time is a good time for that. Be still for Bible reading. Be still for prayer. Be still for meditation on God and His works. Be still for personal introspection. It's hard to know God in the noise, is the point of the lesson. Everything going on throughout the day. So be still. Find that time. Find that time. Make that time. Commit to that time. And you and I will be better for it. It's a world full of noise that is causing the sin and the heartache that we're experiencing in our world today. All this noise of worldliness and materialism and wickedness. People just need to be quiet and quit running and stand still and start thinking about God and His Word. And maybe we need to do more of that as well. Again, with our modern world that has so many advances, appreciate many of them, but with them comes the warning and the challenges and the responsibilities to stop. Now, I want to turn to one more psalm and then the lesson is yours. I want to deal with this last statement that I've left to the very end, and that is, we've been talking about being still. I want to talk just a moment about, and know that I am God. Turn with me to Psalm 100. We're going to read this little short psalm, 5 verses. You know, from day to day, we don't know what is going to be the outcome. We don't know everything that's going to happen today with ourselves and with our world and our nation and this and that. There's a lot of things we don't know. But what we can know and what we do know is who is in control. Who is in control? Have you ever been watching a ball game? I know some of you have. I have. We've been watching maybe our favorite team. Okay. And score is tied, NFL football, you know. And our team is on the 1 yard line, you see. And we have just a few seconds left. We have an opportunity, you know, to win the game. What are we about that? We're on the edge of our seat. You know, we might be biting our fingernails. We're just waiting in anticipation. We're worried. And is somebody going to fumble? Is he going to go across the line? You know, and so we're just sitting there and we're anticipating that. Let me ask you this. If you had been recording that game and you watched the same game 6 months later, would you be sitting on the edge of your seat and biting your fingernails? And no, you already know what the outcome is. And so here's the point. We don't have to sit on the edge of our seat and bite our nails and wonder and worry and fret with regard to things in life, because we know what the outcome is, in the sense that we know that God is in control. And whatever the outcome is, He's going to control it in such a way that's going to be good and right. It's like watching the recorded game. We're reading God's Word. We know. The world sits there, you know, they're biting their, I don't know. We're reading our Bible. We know. We're looking back, as it were. We already know the outcome. And the outcome is that God is always going to be in control, and He's always going to do what is right. So, I leave this lesson with you on this point. And know that I am God. Know what? Well, read with me. Psalm 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto Jehovah, all you lands. Serve Jehovah with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Now look at this. Know that Jehovah, He is God. This is what all of this be still time is doing. He's God. It is He that hath made us. Genesis 1:1, all other things. And we are His. We are the people. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Give thanks unto Him and bless His name. For Jehovah is good. His loving kindness endureth forever. And His faithfulness unto all generations. There's two things. Know that I am God, verse 3. Know that I am good, verse 5. So, no matter what goes on throughout the day, He's God, meaning He is in control. And number 2, whatever He allows in this world, it is going to be that which is good, that which is faithful, that which is according to His mercy and loving kindness. And so we may not know some of the details, but we know who is in control, and it gives us a sense of peace. Be still and know that I am God. I hope that this has helped us. Sometimes it's hard to do that. Sherry and I lived for about 5 years in an inner city type environment in Corpus Christi. Sirens at 2 a.m, you know, and neighbors at 3 a.m. on the weekends, all kinds of noise. It was kind of hard to find some quiet time. You had to really work at it. We're all in different situations and circumstances, but I believe we can all find some time to be still. Maybe in your office. Maybe in your bedroom. Maybe on your bed. Maybe early in the morning, get up with the chickens. Whatever. We're going to be still. And we're going to know that God is God and that He is good. And we're going to go throughout the day from that perspective. And the rest of the world's got their noise going on. And their lives are out of whack. And they're rebelling. Or they're apprehensive about every little thing. Or they're cumbered about with this and that. And you're just sitting there knowing about God. And you go throughout your day that way. I hope that this has helped. I know it has helped me. I hope that it will help you. Now, for just a moment, if you could just take a moment to be still. Do you need to make a change? Do you need to come? Do you know what you need to do? You just haven't done that. And if just a moment to be still and think about that, would that encourage you to make that change this morning? We want to encourage you if your life is not right in some way, and if we can assist you, if we can help you to make your life right with God, why would you come as we stand and sing?